Good evening, everyone. As Luke said, we're going to read from Luke chapter 18 on page 1052 of the church Bibles. It's always good to have a Bible open in front of us so that we can look on and read. Verse 15. People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother." "All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left all we had to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus said to them, "no one who has left home or wife, or brothers, or parents, or children, for the sake of the kingdom of God, will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life." Amen. This is God's word. Please open up your Bible again at Luke chapter 18. And as you're turning there, let's pray. Father, we ask now that as we come to your word, would you open up our eyes? Would you help us to see? Would you open our ears and help us to listen? Father, truly would we meet the risen Lord Jesus in his word. Please, would you speak to us for our benefit and for his glory? In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. I wonder if any other question has caused more sleepless nights than this one. What will happen to me when I die? What will happen to me when I die? Will I go to heaven? Will I go to hell? How can I be sure? How can any of us be sure? I'm certain that is a question that every single person has asked. Let me put some words of the Lord Jesus up on the screen. They come from our chapter tonight, and they say this: "I tell you the truth, anyone who will not enter the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." The phrase, "I tell you the truth," has the same kind of meaning as, "I solemnly swear to you. I solemnly swear." Jesus used it often to highlight when he was about to say something of extreme importance. And what Jesus solemnly swears to us tonight is that there is an answer to the question, can I be sure that when I die, I will go to heaven? And his answer explains that there is no more important issue for each and every one of us that we are inside God's kingdom and not outside of God's kingdom. What is God's kingdom? Well, according to Luke's gospel, the kingdom of God is good news because it is a promise of a world that we would all love to be part of. A kingdom where there is no disease or hunger. A kingdom where there is no misery. A kingdom where there is no injustice, no pain, no suffering. A kingdom where there is such joy and nothing can ever spoil it. A kingdom where Jesus is the King. It is heaven itself. There are two other ways this passage refers to the kingdom of God that show that we really, really need to be part of it. Another way it's referred to is being saved. The second, having eternal life. All need to be saved because every single person is a sinner who's not submitted to King Jesus, me included. And all I deserve is entry to hell, which is the only alternative to entry to God's kingdom. And all need eternal life because one day we will all die and our destination will be set. So how can we be sure that we will go to heaven? How can we be sure that we'll be part of God's kingdom? Jesus tells us tonight that the only way to be saved and receive eternal life and be part of his kingdom is to enter it like a little child. What does that mean? Well, I think from our passage, it means two things. Here's the first one. Receiving the kingdom of God like a little child means abandoning self-reliance. Now, it's no accident that as Luke writes his gospel, he puts the encounter with the little children and the rich ruler side by side. Luke wants us to notice the difference between these two people, if you like. On one side, you have babies who have to be brought to Jesus, who've got nothing to offer him. They're just babies, they're just brought. On the other side, we have this rich ruler who, on the face of it, is a moral man. He looks to be a good and righteous man. He's rich, he's upper class. In lots of ways, he is much that we could commend him for. And if you were to ask the question of the people there, who's the more likely candidate to be in heaven? They would all have said, the rich ruler. But let's think about these little children. In verse 15, look what it says. People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. But when the disciples see this, they tell the people off. Their thinking was common at the time. Children are unimportant. Children are snotty-nosed and dirty-nappied. They're childish. They've got nothing to offer you, Jesus. Why not hang about with someone who's important, who can do something for your street cred and your reputation? Babies are, they're unimportant, Jesus. They've got nothing to offer you. But that is precisely the point the Lord Jesus is making here. On Wednesday nights, Tricia and I have been spending some time at an antenatal class. As you know, the baby's due in a month. We're really looking forward to it. But what's been drilled into us at these classes that when the baby's born, it'll by and large be helpless. It won't be able to do anything for itself. Babies are weak. They can't look after themselves. Now, I know you're thinking, Doogie, you can barely look after yourself. But babies can't genuinely look after themselves. We will need to do everything. If, after a few months, Tricia and I decide, you know what, this is tiring. We could do with a month off. We'll just leave the baby to fend for itself. It'll be okay. No, we can't do that. The baby won't survive. All a weak little baby can do is depend on trust on its parents, on other people. It cannot look after itself. In the context of this passage, babies have got nothing that they can hold up to Jesus and say, I deserve your kingdom. And that's what Luke wants us to have in mind. As shortly after, the rich ruler runs up to Jesus. You see, this man looks far from helpless, unlike the little babies. In Mark's gospel, we're told that he was a young man. He's someone with authority. He's eager to listen to what Jesus has to say. He obviously seems to have the right priorities as well, because he wants to know what will happen to him and how he can be certain of it when he dies. He asked Jesus in verse 18, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? How can I be in heaven? And as he asks that question, what he does is reveal the common misconception that there is something that he can do to save himself. You see, many people think when they hear how important it is that they enter God's kingdom, immediately they think in their heads, there's something I've got to do. There's some duty that I must perform. I've got to do something to get right with God. As long as I tick the right boxes, as long as I give to charity, or generally I'm nice to people, as long as I don't, you know, murder anyone, as long as I don't commit some terrible offense, as long as I'm a good person, well, I've ticked the boxes, surely I can sleep easy, surely I'll be in heaven. That is exactly how this man thinks. But Jesus shows the man that nothing we do or nothing we don't do, not in ourselves, not in our own strength, can make us good enough for God's kingdom. Look how Jesus replies. Verse 19, why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. Jesus is telling the man that if you call me good teacher, you're calling me God, because only God is good. And then Jesus lists 5 of the 10 commandments from the Old Testament, the ones that talk about how we treat others. Look what he says. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. Look how the man replies. Jesus, it's okay. All these I've kept. You know, since I was a little boy, I can do this. The man genuinely believed that he could keep all of God's commandments. Something that the Bible says in our own strength is impossible to do. And in claiming that he could keep all of God's commandments, he was claiming that he was good enough for God. He was claiming that he could enter God's kingdom on the strength of the things that he could do. On Friday, Tricia and I were out for dinner at a friend's house, and their daughter had a little badge on her shirt, a bit like this one. And I asked her, what's that badge for? And she told me the name of it. It was called the Always Good Star. She'd got it from school. The Always Good Star. Because her behavior over a long period of time had been very good. So she got a wee badge for it. She was always good. Now, I'm sure this girl's parents would say that she was not always good or anything like it. This man thought that he could live up to the always good badge. He prided himself on wearing it. He believed he could do it. According to Jesus, living a good life on our own strength and being able to enter heaven on our own is impossible. Only God is truly good. Jesus tells us that. And while it may offend our pride to hear this, God says that there is no one who does good. Not before God. Every single person who has ever lived, with the exception of the Lord Jesus, who lived the perfect life, has turned away from God. No one is good. And this is why we need to listen to Jesus when he says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." The only way to escape the judgment of hell is to be like one of the little children who were brought to Jesus that day. We must admit that there is nothing we can do ourselves. We've got to abandon self-reliance. We've got to stop kidding ourselves on that we can live up to the always good badge. We can't. Put it away. Entry into the kingdom of God is a gift to be received. It's not a duty to be achieved. Do you know something? As a believer in the Lord Jesus, there is a danger that I think this truth is just for people who aren't yet followers of Jesus. There's a huge bit of pride in me that thinks, yeah, I know this. I've got to abandon self-reliance if I've got to enter God's kingdom. There's nothing I can do on my own. I've got to have that childlike reliance. And I may have started the Christian life by abandoning self-reliance and throwing myself on the mercy of Jesus. But there's a danger that I think I continue in the Christian life under my own steam and in my own strength. There's a danger that I think what it means to be a Christian is to tick the religious boxes. Be baptized. Come to the prayer meeting. Become a church member. Put money in the offering bank. Serving at holiday club. And as long as I perform all my duties under my own steam, then Jesus will be pleased. And of course, I will enter into the kingdom of God. But that is pride. And it is self-reliance. And there's some healthy examination worth doing here. When it comes to following him day by day, is he my first port of call? When I get up first thing in the morning, do I call out to him for help and strength to get through the day? Do I call out to him and ask for the forgiveness of my sins, and say, "Lord Jesus, I cannot follow you without your help. Please help me today. Please, would you help me to be a good witness to you where I'm going? Help me to love my family. Help me to love those people I meet today who don't yet know and love you. Or do I think I can manage just fine on my own?" If we want to enter the kingdom of God, if we want to receive it like a little child, we've got to abandon all sense of pride and self-reliance. From first day that we become Christians to the day that we enter heaven, it's not about what we bring to the table. It's all about the Lord Jesus. Which brings me to my second point. You see, if we have to abandon self-reliance, receiving the kingdom of God like a little child means entrusting our lives to the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 21 again, where the man proudly admits that all these I have kept since I was a boy. Remember, he thinks he still can wear the blue badge, the always good badge. And Jesus replies to him. He said, when Jesus heard this, verse 22, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." What does Jesus reply? Show the rich ruler? Well, he wants the ruler to face up to the fact that he simply cannot rely on himself. He wants this man to give up what is most important to him and be like a little child, to humbly entrust all of his life to the Lord Jesus. Now, selling all that we have and giving it to the poor is not a condition for all disciples of the risen Lord Jesus, but it may be for some. Now, let's not run too quickly over this, because here in the relatively rich Western world, it can be easy to think, well, Jesus is maybe talking about someone else. But actually, it's worth stopping and thinking. What am I trusting in? What is my all? Where are my hopes and dreams? What is it that hinders me even slightly from entrusting all of my life to the Lord Jesus? Is it money? Do you go to bed at night and dream, wish that you had a little bit more? Do you go to bed at night envious of what others have got? If you were to lose all your money, if the Lord Jesus was to say to you tonight, sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and then come follow me, how would that make you feel? What about when the church asks for money? How does that make you feel? Do you grudge it? Do you think it's my money? Disciples of the risen Lord Jesus must let go of anything and everything that would stop us from entrusting every part of our lives in Him. We must give over everything, completely, time, possessions, money, ambitions, plans, abilities, yes, even our cash. He must be the greatest, not us. There must not be a hint of putting our hope in the things of the world. Look at the reaction of the man in verse 23. When the man heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. When it came to showing what was most important with this man, Jesus hits the nail bang on the head. The man was not willing to entrust everything. He wasn't willing to have that childlike reliance for his future in the Lord Jesus. He loved the contents of his wallet. You see, the man may have kept those five commandments about not stealing or not killing or not giving false testimony, but he was not obeying the first one. You shall have no other gods before me. He was not obeying the command to love the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, strength, and mind. God was not number one with this man. Money was. And the truth is this. What has first place in our hearts is what we are entrusting our lives to. As the man stood there looking at Jesus with tears in his eyes, Jesus wanted him and everyone else who was gathered there that day to listen and learn from what they'd seen. Look what Jesus says in verse 24. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." You see, to the Jewish people of Jesus' day, wealth and obedience to God's laws were a mark of God's favor. Everyone would have thought, God's smiling down on this man. God was pleased with this guy because of everything that he had achieved, everything he had. And so they're amazed when Jesus says this, and they say in verse 26, those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" They don't understand. If someone like this rich man, who's probably a good man, who God is probably smiling down on, if he's not going to be in God's kingdom, then how can we, just simple poor folks, how can we be in God's kingdom if this guy can't? And Jesus gives them that great picture. He says in verse 25, "Indeed, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Here's a needle. You can barely see it from where you are. The idea of a camel trying to get through that, well, it's impossible. I couldn't get my little finger through that, or one of my little toes, or anything. And the idea is that it is impossible. There is just no way that it can ever happen. And that's what Jesus is getting at. Why is it so hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Maybe this will help. I don't know if you saw on the news this week, but the 62 richest people in the world have more wealth than the poorest half of the world's population combined. 62 people, just 62 people, have more money than 3.5 billion combined. Trisha and I went to the Shard this week to have a look at the view. It's pretty good, as you'd expect from, I don't know, 70 odd floors up. To buy a flat at the Shard, a flat, they probably call it something flashier than that, a penthouse apartment or something like that, 50 million quid. Wealth feeds self-confidence. Wealth says, I'm doing okay. Wealth says, I don't need to rely on anyone or anything else. Wealth opens doors. Wealth, we think, can buy security. Wealth, we think, will provide for our needs. But when it comes to entering the kingdom of God, wealth means nothing. As the disciples and those gathered there that day are asking, who can be saved? It sounds impossible to be in God's kingdom. Jesus looks at them and in verse 27, gives them the answer. He directs the conversation where he's been heading the whole time. Jesus replied, what is impossible with men is possible with God. You see, in one sense, Jesus agrees with the crowd. He says it is impossible for men and women and boys and girls to enter the kingdom of God on their own. They've got no chance. But Jesus is God who came to make the impossible possible. For those who will abandon self-reliance, who will entrust their lives to Jesus with that childlike reliance on him, he makes the impossible possible. How does he do it? By his death and resurrection. Look at the next little section in Luke's gospel. Look at the headline on the next page. It says, Jesus again predicts his death. Jesus and his disciples are on their way to Jerusalem, and Jesus knows what's going to happen there. And he says, we're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be turned over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again. To make it possible for anyone to be assured of their place in heaven, to enter the kingdom of God, the king himself had to die on a cross. God's justice demands that because I cannot keep his commandments, any of them, I cannot wear my always good badge, that my sin needs to be punished. And Jesus goes to Jerusalem and to the cross to deliberately take upon himself the sin and punishment for all those who will abandon their self-reliance and entrust their lives to him like little children. How can we be sure that those who trust their lives to Jesus like little children will enter God's kingdom, will receive eternal life and be saved? Well, just as he said he would, after his death, that he would rise again. He did rise again. And it shows us that he is the eternal king who we can entrust our lives to. His resurrection declares him to be the God of the impossible, including the impossibility of securing us a place in his kingdom. Now, as the passage draws to a close, there's another little contrast that is made. You see, Peter stands up and speaks, almost in contrast to the rich ruler. Look what he says in verse 28. We have left all we had to follow you. Peter's asking, what awaits us? What awaits those of us who are willing to abandon self-reliance and entrust Jesus like a little child? Well, Jesus says to them, I tell you the truth. No one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life. Now, Jesus is not saying, follow me and life will be easy. And he's not saying, follow me for selfish and greedy reasons. His message is that entrusting our lives to him in the eyes of the world may be costly. It may involve sacrifice. It may involve losing family, losing status, losing face, losing wealth. Why, it might even cost us our lives. But eternity will prove that the best place to be was to abandon self-reliance and entrust the Lord Jesus like a little child, whatever we may face today, whatever it may lead tomorrow. We must finish. Having heard Jesus' words about how to be sure of entering God's kingdom, how will you leave this evening? You see, in one of the other Gospels, we're told not just that the rich ruler was sad, but that he went away sad. He was unwilling to do anything about what Jesus told him. He was unwilling to abandon self-reliance. He loved his money. You may not have come tonight certain of what's going to happen to you when you die, but you can be. Jesus promises that. Jesus says, if you're willing to abandon reliance on anything this world offers, money, ability, brains, whatever it is, if you're willing to entrust your life to him, admit that you're a sinner and say, Jesus, I trust you like a little child, then he promises us that we will enter the kingdom of God. Are you willing to do that tonight? Perhaps you already have. That's brilliant. I'm certain that our response as we leave, like these disciples who heard what Jesus said, is to be amazed, to leave rejoicing, that people like us can be certain tonight that when we die or the Lord Jesus returns, we will be with him and his kingdom. No one will ever take us out of it. No one will ever make us cry or weep or sin again. Will you be amazed as you leave? Or will you go away sad? Let's pray. Father, there are times that your word challenges us and turns our thinking on its head. Would these words tonight help us to see that we must abandon all self-reliance when it comes to entering your kingdom? Would we daily call out for the help of the Lord Jesus to follow him? Would we not love anything in the world, but be willing to give all, to entrust every part of our lives, that we might one day see the Lord Jesus and hear those words, welcome, my good and faithful servant. Let us not leave this place sad, but rejoicing, amazed, with the hope that Jesus promises to all who trust in him. We ask this in his name. Amen.